Good afternoon, everybody. Joe Varnador here. Welcome to the Tuesday afternoon non-performing call. We have Mr. Charles Mangan on the phone this afternoon. How are you, Charles?
I'm good, Joe. How are you today?
Very well. Man, it is a beautiful day in South Florida, about 65 degrees and not a cloud in the sky.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice. And then we have Mr. Matt in the background there running things and pulling them up for us. How are you, Matt?
Fantastic. How are things in your neck of the woods other than beautiful?
Everything is good. Getting ready to go to Chicago to the 3-day on Thursday. So we're all looking forward to that. Got a big group of folks up there. All right, so what we're going to do today is we have got a couple of assets that are on the current is this on the current tape, Charles, or Matt, or are these from a previous tape?
I think these are from a previous tape, Joe. I think these are from the previous tape.
Yeah, I think so, too.
This is the February list that's up right now, not the one that's coming out for the titanium on Thursday.
Okay. The titanium list will be coming out shortly here, Charles, right?
Yep, be here on Thursday, Joe. So we'll release it Thursday afternoon after 5. So everybody look for that titanium Thursday tape.
Sounds good. Well, Matt, why don't we go? I think we've got a couple of assets. One is in, I know one is in Indiana, and the second one may be in Indiana as well, right?
It is.
Yes, it is.
Wasn't that way, but it ended up being that way, right?
Well, it ended up, you know, sorry for, we were about 2 minutes tardy, guys. Matt and I, Charles and I were making a change here, and took a little longer than we thought, So we're going to walk through a couple of these. I know we always get a lot of questions, and you guys don't get the benefit sometime of listening to Charles as he can explain this like nobody else can. So we take the opportunity to do that. So, guys, also, this is a learning experience for you as well. So let's just make sure that you have your questions as we go through this. For those of you that have been in the office and you're titanium folks, you've kind of this is exactly what you guys do in the office, isn't it, Charles? You just kind of open up the asset, go through them.
Yeah. So the titanium members, a lot of them have had the opportunity to come into the office and actually look at tapes that we are working on and completing due diligence, and they actually get to go through and do the due diligence as well. And so it's very helpful just kind of do a hands-on due diligence, and we didn't have a lot of content for today, and so we thought it'd be a good idea that we go through a couple assets and just talk, answer questions. There are some things that I kind of want to discuss about deeds and things of that nature that we've discussed before, but we'll just kind of refresh today.
Okay, Matt, so I don't know if it's me or you need to make that screen just a little bit larger.
There we go. How's that?
That's much better. So do we want to do the one in on Washington Street first?
Sure, we can do that. And do you want to kind of look at the numbers before we get into it and kind of say
why? Let's run through what we've got here. I'll kind of go through that, and then we'll – Charles, you want to do the – you want to go through the BPO first? You want to look at title, Lange? What do you want to do on?
Let's go ahead and let's look at the BPO first. That would be one of the first things I look at when I'm doing a due diligence.
Okay, so guys, hey Matt, hold on just a second. Let's go ahead and just kind of run through the numbers here. So if we were looking, if we just had received this tape and we were going through the numbers here, we can see that this was originated 4/27 of 2012. The current unpaid balance is 22,527, 9.99% interest. PI payment is 399. The taxes and insurance are another 55. Wow, taxes and insurance are very cheap on that one. And the remaining term is 325 payments. Let's see, Matt, let me move my screen over here and see if I can see the rest of that. Yeah. So last payment received. Okay, this is a rather a newer one, because the last payment received on this one was 7/1, was July 1st of 2015. So this one is only about 7 months 7 going on 8 months delinquent on this one. So the BPO value was 34.9. Price on this asset is 12,215. So Matt, let's go ahead and look at the due diligence file on this and pull up the BPO.
There you go.
All right, Charles, you want to kind of walk through this one?
Yeah, let's look here. Joe, I was trying to pull that one up as we go through it here. So,
okay.
So Matt, let's go down and look at some values here. Like Joe said, this is a recently non-performing loan here within the last several months. And let's just see here. So what's our value again on this, Matt?
33, I believe, is what it was.
All right, so the comps are, so we got some comps. Comp sales and listings are all pretty comparable, I guess, as far as area, proximity of the house. And again, you'll hear us say many times, you know, this, a BPO, we look at this as a starting point. We don't, when we look at BPOs, we know we're going to sell these more than likely more than what the BPO value is, especially if we're offering a seller finance type note or anything on this property. Let's look at the house, Matt. The one thing about this note is that, you know, the borrower apparently has had a hardship. There's a reason that they've gone in default, and, you know, there may be, could be a loss of a job, and, you know, I mean, it's not a bad-looking little house.
It's a nice-looking little house, yeah.
Still a possible chance of, you know, the house, there being a workout solution on this house, because again, it's not that far delinquent. There may be some type of workout possibilities. House does need some siding repair. I mean, there is some deferred maintenance. It's got to be repaired. I do see a broken window there, some paint. But the property, last we were told, is still current. I mean, it's current. Excuse me, it's still occupied. And so, again, this property is over 120 days delinquent. So what we'll do is, or what we have done, is we've started the foreclosure process or the termination process on this. I believe this is a land contract, so we would start the termination process. again, not a bad neighborhood. Winchester, Indiana. I'm not sure. I don't know anything about Winchester, Indiana, but you know, just look at the BPO. So technically, we go through the BPO, just kind of look at the comps, you know, kind of look at the values of the properties. And then we'll go back and start looking at, you know, the pay history, you know, how long did they pay, you know, is there anything, any red flags that we want to look at on this loan. Matt, let's go back and let's look at the, let's go ahead and look at the title report on this asset.
Okay. And this property looks like it's, the fair market rent on this is about $500 a month.
Right.
Very good.
Then we'll go through and look at the title just to see if there's anything that would just necessarily jump out at as far as liens, judgments, you know, anything that we couldn't foreclose out if we needed to. So again, looks like pretty much just looks like there's some delinquent taxes that are due on the property. Not a large tax amount. Let's see, homestead exemption filed. Recording
of sewer. About $985.
Yeah, so there is a sewer lien against the property that has not been paid. I did notice that, you know, so I would contact the local municipality to see if I could find out what that sewer lien was. You know, was that for a water, is that a water bill? You know, it's more than likely that could be the water bill. It hasn't been paid for $147. And that more than likely would have to be paid. You might be able to negotiate it, but a lot of times in these smaller city municipalities, small liens like the water liens or utility liens, they will require them to be paid for. They'll cut the utilities back onto the property.
Right.
But there's really nothing I see on this title that just, I mean, it's saying, well, no, I wouldn't buy this. It's a pretty clean title. You know, we see a lot of titles that have, you know, a lot of judgments and liens against them. So we have to go through there and we determine which of those judgments and if we can foreclose those out. So that's one thing we always look at are the judgments or liens against the property on the title.
So Charles, when you're buying a package of a pool of loans like this, is your process pretty much the same as what we're doing here as far as we're going to look at what's the specifics on the loan, then going to jump to the BPO, and then secondly the title?
Yeah, I'm going to look at you know, I'm going to look at the property itself on the BPO. I'm going to look at, is it occupied? You know, a lot of times we'll get tapes that will have a lot of vacant properties, and just you can just see they're aged. You know, some of them may be 4 or 5 years old vacant. At that point, I may have another property inspection done on the property. If they look vacant, I may go and just have a property inspection done on the property. Just because they've been vacant for so long, and I want somebody at least to look through the windows and kind of get an idea of the interior of that property. But, you know, for the most part, I mean, we buy a lot of NPLs, and a lot of them are vacant. But, you know, like this one here, if it was vacant, you know, it hadn't been delinquent, but, you know, what, 8-9 months now? So it's less than a year old as far as the last payment made. I believe the last payment was like in June. So. But I am going to look at the condition of the property. I'm going to look at the neighborhood of the property. I will look at the crime, you know, is there crime? And then I'm going to look at, are there certain city, are there transfer taxes? City municipalities that, you know, you have to do property registration? Because a lot of these you have to register the properties if they're vacant. You know, has that been done? So, but the main thing is we're basically looking at the title. We look at the BPOs, and then we look at our collateral doc, you know, our land contract, and, you know, generally they provide us. A lot of times, well, they may not always send the land contract. So we, the files, once we ship or once we commit to buying the loans, they'll ship the files to our custodian, or at least the collateral documents, and then our custodian will do an inventory of those documents usually, and then they will notify us that, yes, we have the collateral docs on these before we fund the deal.
Good. Okay. So here's the pay history here. Charles, you want to kind of walk us through this as well?
Okay. So, yeah, now when you see these pay histories are very – usually they're pretty busy. Pay histories. Matt, can you? Well, you can see the date. Matt, just can you widen the dates right there to where it's not all little dollar or number signs right there?
I haven't downloaded this from Dropbox, so this is one of those files that I can't move. I can download it if you want me to.
No, that's okay. So basically, if you'll see, there's a due date. The first date column is your due date. Second date is the last payment or paid date. And then there's a explanation or description field that you can use. That you can see, like, the first was a hazard disbursement. There may be some miscellaneous disbursements in there. Those are just fees that may be split up between a pool of loans that the servicer is charging. The hazard disbursements. And one thing I will say is, you know, when I look at this particular loan, and I see these hazard disbursements, you know, when I look at a hazard disbursement and I see it's a monthly disbursement, that's pretty much a flag that is a forced place insurance. So apparently these people are not escrowing for the insurance, or we're not escrowing for insurance. And if there's a monthly hazard disbursement form or insurance description there, it's more than likely that's going to be a forced place policy. So it's kind of a clue of what, you know, do the borrowers have insurance on the property, or is it forced placed?
But Charles, let me ask you a question on this real quick. So I'm looking at this, and they've made regular payments, and you've got the hat, it stopped what, in June, July, or June was the last payment of 2015.
Uh-huh.
They had all the hazard and all this, and they have transfer of inventory on the 7th also. Does that look like maybe this loan was sold to someone else and then they stopped paying after it transferred, or does that, is that?
No. No, typically that's an internal thing. So a lot of times you'll see, like when we sell a note or we buy a note, so this particular one, we purchased this asset through the servicer that was servicing, which is ClearSpring. So we buy pools of loans that are being serviced by our servicer from other investors or other funds, okay? So if you see something that says a transfer, that means that the loan transferred from that owner of the note to us. Now we're being the new note owners of the note, so that could be a transfer date that it just transferred from one client, one owner to the other as far as the note owner.
And Gary is asking, what could on 7-1 the adjustment for 2008-46 be? So this number right here,
which one right there,
28-46.
I'm just trying to look here and see here, just a second here. 2000, what's the description? See, it says just says a cashier's check, but it doesn't give me the full description, but hold on a second, 2000. Matt, go back up the top a little bit. Let me see what this column is right here. Go ahead.
Actually, I'm going to go ahead and download this. It'll be a lot easier so that we can look at it. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Did they go into foreclosure on this, or?
Huh?
Sorry.
So one thing I always do, and it's simple, but what I do when I download a pay history, I always put my little boxes around that pay history. It just makes it a lot easier to read.
And Bill is asking if this would be something that we could apply for hardest hit funds. And sure, Bill, as long as the borrower is still in the property, or if the borrower would like to continue to keep the property, it would certainly be available for hardest hit funds. So that would be something that we could do with this. Now, also, as of, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, a lot of the states have allocated some more money to the hardest hit funds. So I know that Ohio, which was out of money, Indiana and Illinois, Ohio, Illinois, and Michigan were all three out of money, and there's been some additional funds that have been allocated for those areas. So make sure that you look into that if you've got an asset in one of those three states. It's there's been more money allocated there. So all right, what did we find? And Matt, you get that downloaded?
Yeah, he looked at, yeah. So that's some type of principal payment right there. It says it's an adjustment, so that's not in a payment. It says a cashier's check. It was an adjustment. It has something to do with these regular payments. Now, what that may have been, let's see, 4, 8, 12, 16, 20. Now, I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look. Really, I'd have to go back and break that down. It could be that 2846 is several of these payments right below it. And that's what it looks like. They received a group of payments, and they may have had funds and unapplied funds that they applied to that 2846 to make all their payments. Because as you see, that's a group of payments. And if you look here, you see right there where Matt's got it highlighted, that was the April. Then they go up and post the May, the June, July, the August, September, October, and so forth. So that's a group of several payments there. But that may have been funds that they received, and then they just had some unapplied funds that they added to it to bring that count current. But those are all payments that were made there.
Good. And obviously there are still funds that are available in Indiana as well. So again, the key here is this currently occupied as we go through. So
yeah, right. Looking at pay history, you can see that there were some payments, but you know, ultimately you're looking at this as a non-performing loan. So right. I don't go back and analyze all the past payments. What I do look at is when was the last time we received a payment? Are the borrowers still in the property? And if they are, then there's a chance that I could go back and either do a hardest hit funds like Joe was talking about, or maybe do a modification, do some type of workout with that borrower and find out really what the reason is for that borrower's delinquency.
With one like this, obviously as you're looking at that pay history, it's like I've always said in the past when I'm looking at somebody's credit report, it's like looking at a pay history. If you've got somebody that is just habitually late every month and you can see that, they were always either 30, 60, they were rolling 90, something like that, that they just didn't take care of any of their obligations. But when you've got someone that had paid faithfully every month and then in June of last year, they stopped paying, there was some event in those people's lives that caused them not to be able to make that payment.
Right.
So that's one of the things that we look at as well as far as common sense when you're looking at one of these deals. If they're always late, then they're just always late and they're never going to be somebody you want to modify. But if you've got somebody that you could tell that, boom, something happened to them a year ago and they couldn't make the payments, then you know that there was some kind of distinguishing event in their lives. Yeah, you want to make that a little bit bigger if you can.
And I look at these pay histories. I don't spend a lot of time on a pay history on an NPL. I look at it, they're like, such as a hazard disbursement. If I see there's monthly, I'm looking for, is there forced place insurance? Is there an escrow? Are they paying their own taxes? I mean, are their own insurance? But, basically that is one of the number one questions we receive is, do these properties have their own insurance or are they on a forced place policy? And we don't get policies. So when we purchase an acquisition, unfortunately, there's not policies generally. 9 times out of 10, we don't have policies in those files. The servicers would have that information, but we don't. So I can look at a pay history and see how the insurance is being dispersed to give me a pretty good idea. If it's being dispersed monthly, then that tells me pretty much it's a forced place.
Right, right. Very good. So other questions on this? Let me see if we've got any other questions. If not, we'll move to the next asset here. Yeah, we've got several.
Well, let's look at the land contract too, guys, while we're at it. We can go ahead and look at the land contract as well.
Someone asked me if I can put the land contract on the handouts. It's in the due diligence files on the February list on the assets that are available right now. So instead of downloading it and then handing it to you, you can literally just click on the due diligence files and look at it from the links that are on the assets available right now on the member site.
Yeah, and the other thing here is we have Connie and then Bill also made a comment as well. Some states are not available for hardest hit funds on a land contract. And off the top of my head, I can't tell you what those states are. But typically, typically it's going to be, and that's just something you're going to have to check with the folks at Hardest Hit Funds to see what those are. Okay, so it's going to require a little bit of work to get that taken care of. So Charles, you want to go through this land contract?
It's a pretty basic land contract. I mean, it's every contract's a little bit different as far as various investors, they use different contracts, but pretty much this is an installment purchase land contract. So this is their form that they use. Yeah, it just states the property address, gives you the purchase price, the terms. What you're looking at, you want to make sure that, that there's a land contract in that due diligence file and that the borrower's name matches the borrower's name on that file, and also you want to make sure that borrower ties to that property address. Make sure that the property you're looking at, that you're looking at the right land contract. Occasionally, I've had them where they ship files in, they get the wrong land contracts in the wrong files. So that does happen on occasion, and we have to go back and track it down. But you know, when you're looking at that, look at the borrower, look at the property address. You know, look at your original loan amount to make sure that you're looking at the right one. Now, if you see a loan amount and it doesn't match what the servicer is showing as the original loan amount, then there could have been a modification or something. So you want to make sure you look at that. To make sure the terms look right, being compared to what's being provided to you on the due diligence. If the spreadsheet says, 350 months, and then the land contract said, it was 320, well, then you want to go back and look and see, okay, what's wrong with this picture, which could be an indication that there was a modification. Again, we upload the modifications if we have them in the due diligence files, but sometimes we have to go back to the servicers and get them to send us those modification agreements, and so they may not always be available. So, but pretty much what I'm looking at is the property address is verified on the land contract. Also, just while we're talking about this, when you're doing your BPO, look into the BPO, make sure that the property address on the BPO matches the property address on the asset you're looking at as well. Because again, we have had, we have, and generally when we order BPOs, we tell them we want to see a picture of the address as a verification that that is the right address. If they can get close enough to the house and, it's not up a road where there's a guy standing out there with a gun, they'll take a picture of that address.
Very good. Okay. Matt, you want to let's pull up the one there on Bear Road in Fort Wayne? I saw one in Zanesville there. That's Ryan or Justin Wagner's neck of the woods, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull up. All right. Let me pull up the Excel real quick.
Okay. All right. There we are on Bear Road. Looks like we have an unpaid balance of 59, originated on 7/1. There was your payment, your taxes and insurance. Looks like there's 264 payments on that are remaining. Let's scroll on over there, Mr. Matt. All right, looks like the last paid on that one must have been, 6/1 of 14?
Right.
5/1, and then it's due for 6/1.
And you've got your BPO value there of about $35,000 in the asking price, somewhere around $17,000 to $18,500. Okay, so let's go ahead and pull up the BPO on this one.
There we go.
All right. Verify it's the right. Let's see. We've got a 4/2, two bedroom, one bath, 900 square feet. Look at that price range in the neighborhood. What was it, 9,000 to 123,000 up there?
Yeah, and you see that a lot on those BPOs. You'll see they give you a price range and. But realistically, you're looking at what your comps are. But, they've got a comp here that goes up this, pretty close to this property. Goes, it's $45,500 is the current list price. So,
right.
I think our value was 33 on this one.
I think so, yeah.
We're taking an average of it, but what was our rent on this particular asset?
Matt, need to move back up to get that.
All right, so
They have it. I can look what Rentometer says, but they're saying $695.
Well, $700 a month. So it's got a pretty good little rental income for a $35,000 house. It's got a pretty good little rental income. You know,
absolutely. And this one is vacant, and it is secured. So why don't we look at the and 70% of the houses in that neighborhood were owner occupied there, which is a good stat and good to know as well. You want to scroll on down and let's look at the pictures, and we'll come back up and check out some of our comps.
So it's got some missing siding there.
Big yard.
Got a big yard.
it was 0.7, so it was about 0.75 acres, I believe, is what it was.
I don't think I would want to mow that yard, I'll be honest with you.
Come on, Charles.
Yeah, so it's got some missing siding, so it's got some deferred.
It looks like it could be vinyl siding, so not a big deal.
But even at a $700 a month rent, you know, if I was going to seller finance that house I'm probably going to seller finance that house probably somewhere between $45,000 and $55,000, Joe.
Right. Exactly.
At least.
Tax insurance are going to be low on this thing, absolutely. And good. So what were our comps there? Matt?
There we go.
Ann is asking if you can put the land contract in the handouts, and I think you're going to do that, aren't you?
Oh, you mean for the – well, that's what I was saying a while ago. These are on the list that's on the member site.
They're on the link anyway. Yeah, they're on there anyway. So the whole due diligence file is there as well. So they can go back in and look that up.
Yeah, so if they go to the February list that's updated on last month of the 22nd, these assets are all – this is where we're pulling this from. So those due diligence links are in that.
Hackins said that looks like the February 16th tape is not working the links to that, so maybe we can check that when we get off. Chris says that it looks like the spreadsheet lists the BPO at 33 and the BPO says 20. Let's have a look at that and go back up to what that was.
I think he was talking about on the previous one.
Okay, gotcha. Didn't even look, yeah. Didn't see the question there. Okay. And Frederick says, would you be put off by the rural community or are you anticipating the workout will happen? Well, again, there is this property is vacant, so there won't be a workout on this one, Frederick. It's going to be it's going to be something other than that, either a deed in lieu or a foreclosure on this. Okay, so let's see what we have here.
I'm going to pull up Zillow just to kind of look at Zillow, what Zillow has on it, just to see, not to get anything, but. They have a lot of pictures on the inside, so.
In the rural area, I mean, it's not, you know, this is a, they're showing it as a 3-1 here, so I think our BPO is showing it as a 2-1.
Correct. Oh, that's good. Got a shower shower curtain, I'll say.
There you go.
See?
Carpet in the bathroom. Look at that.
With amenities.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Their estimate is $46,000 on that one. So let's see if they show Matt. Scroll down and see what the rental estimate is. Guesstimate is on that. $725,000, and I think we were at $695,000 or something like that on the other. So
it's pretty close.
Yep. Okay.
I'm gonna look at Trulia just to see if a crime heat map is okay on it too. So we want to do that.
And it being rural, I wouldn't think that the crime would be a big deal. What do you think, Charles?
No. I don't. It's, you know, rural properties, we buy them, it doesn't scare us away. We, you know, we sell just as many rural properties.
You know, that makes a bit of a difference, but, you know, at the end of the day, if the housing inventory is just as low as in small towns as it is in big towns. So it really doesn't matter what that looks like. I mean, there's every deal that we look at, somebody could pick out something and say, well, I really don't like that. But you've got to look at the percentage. What I did like was the percentage of the homeowners, the owner occupants, as a comparison to the rental units there in the area. So homeownership is pretty strong. And the other part of that was the area as well. Okay, very small in GLA rent style property at the time of inspection, subject appeared neglected. Well, obviously it has. When was the last payment made on this one? It was in 2014. Okay. So we're showing an as-is list of 35 with 1,500 in repairs, and Zillow was showing about 42. So yeah, you could easily spend a little bit of money on this one and or sell it as is, and seller finance it at $45,000. I don't see a problem with that. Yeah. All right. You want to look at the land contract on this one, Matt?
Give me just.
Guys, this is kind of a walk in the park as compared to those two performing loans that we looked at last night. I don't think those are really performing, though, were they?
No.
We had a couple of doozies last night, guys, on the performing goal. They were very interesting, anyway. So.
We want to look at the title report, or do we? I think we may.
Let's look at title. Like, yeah, let's look at title since you got it there. And Charles can kind of walk us through that one.
What happens when you get about 20, 50 tabs open, right? It just takes a little longer than normal. All right, there we go.
Yeah.
Charles knows that.
Again, you know, I'm going to look at the grantor, grantee, make sure that, see whose name the title's invested in. contract for sale. So this is a contract for conditional sale of real estate. So this one looks like it was recorded, land contract. Just going down here. So I'm just going to go through the chain of title, make sure that, you know, it all coincides with the chain. It's correct all the way down. Keep going, Matt. Neighborhood code enforcement. So there's some code enforcements there that had, there were some, apparently some code enforcement liens that had been filed, which are weed liens, it looks like. And again, you want to check on those.
It was a sewer lien as well.
So it says no additional judgments, no bankruptcies found. So I think you're good. I mean, you know, you and again, we purchased these, so we wouldn't have bought it if there was a big concern on the title. But again, we're going to look at the taxes, any liens, judgments. What's this right here? Taxes are due, amount due, $14,947.13. So that's one thing we would look at. You know, you want to see if those taxes have been paid.
We have our tax cert here. We'll see what our tax certificate said. That's where you want it. I mean, yeah. Bill's asking, would this property qualify for FHA 1032 loan?
You know, it could. That would be something that would have to be checked on a local level, as far as being able to do those to do that type of loan on this. But it, you know, it could, since it is that more rural location. What did it say on the taxes back there? We moved past those, and I wanted to see what it said, because I know we'll have questions on that. Did you see that, Charles?
No, I didn't. Should I go back here? What is it, Joe, here?
Yeah, from the abstract, from abstracts report there. No, not the title cert, not the tax cert, I don't believe. Go back to abstract there.
The abstract or the abstract? Abstracts did a title report, which was the
Okay, let's, I think that's where we saw.
Tell me if that's 14,000. Yeah. It was just a tax cert on that. There we go. Is this what you're saying?
Yeah. So, Charles, what does that tell you there?
Okay, let's see. All prior 2012-13 taxes are delinquent in the amount of $14,000. So, basically, it's telling me that the taxes are delinquent past due. Okay. Now then. Now you're looking at this abstract. You can either get this in updated abstracts, or you can contact the county to see if those taxes have been paid since either we purchased it or was it part of the transfer or the negotiation they were paid prior to us buying them after this tax report was pulled. But that's basically saying you've got delinquent taxes on this property.
Okay. Yeah, and if you notice, the date on the top of that would be May 27th of 2015. So that's 10 months old for all intents and purposes. So yeah, we would just check and verify that. Correct, Charles?
Yes.
Very good. Okay.
All right. And I was just got a hand raised here. We want to go ahead and answer the hand, or we want to go ahead and look at some stuff beforehand. Oh.
Go ahead, and then we'll take the hand there.
Well, they put it down so as quickly as I saw it. So.
Okay.
They were. Oh, Chris was asking about the tax sale on 9/30. So, and that was just, I think Charles was saying, confirm that, you know, with the tax sale, or get an updated abstracts on that. So.
Right.
There's the. What all are we looking for on this, Charles?
I'm not going to go through all the legal documents. This is a mortgage. We know it's not a land contract. I look at the documents to see what collateral documents I have real briefly, but I don't spend a lot of time on the collateral going through each page of them.
And again, the names are very important on all of those.
You know, one thing I would say, though, too, when you're looking at like a mortgage, you know, verify your legal description against the title just to make sure you've got the correct legal description on there as well.
All right. Hey, Matt, why don't we go ahead and I think Bill had asked about the one in Zanesville. So why don't you just pull that up and we'll just walk through that one real quick as well.
All right.
Our old friend Justin Wagner lives around that area.
And what's the Zanesville, you say?
Zanesville, Ohio. Yep. Scroll over. It was down towards the, it was on the bottom there. There you go. Number 32, brother.
It's a multi-family.
There you go.
And there we go.
Let's look at the BPO on that one.
Tim's asking, how would you find out when the tax sale on that would be, or if it took place? What's the best way of finding that out?
You'd have to call and just verify it with the county. And again, if you see many times when we see these 2011, 2012, so taxes that are 3 or 4 or 5 years old that have not been paid, showing delinquent, you know, we want to either have abstracts or pro title confirm that to make sure there hasn't been a tax sale, and you can also call the counties and verify that as well.
Right, and that's very important that we do that, guys. So, yeah, we've got – this is a vacant property as well, three-bedroom, two-bath, ranch-style home on a little – about a three-quarters of an acre lot, 1,500 square feet. Let's see what why this would qualify as a multifamily. Let's see, hold on a second. Homes in similar direct competition, 13, rural. Yeah, let's scroll on down there. Let's look at the pictures of it and see what we can judge from there. Yeah, that's in rough shape.
Yeah, it's an older house. It's definitely vacant.
Yep. Matt, move that a little more there so we can get a look at it there. Yeah, it looks like they built something onto the end of that one, Charles, on the right side of it there, looking at the picture.
That's the master bedroom, Joe.
They built a master suite, huh?
They did. They built a mother-in-law suite. They're going to put their mother-in-law in.
The king of the castle, right? And you're the dirty rascal. All right.
I'm going to pull it up on Google if I can. This is Trulia. I have Trulia here. And then I'll get a Google Maps. Just kind of.
Yeah, again, and really the best way, guys, is just to kind of run through it with your Google Earth, then your demographics and the valuation sites, and then the county website. So you're going to go through all of those as you're looking at these things anyway. So you want to make sure before you pull the trigger is you just check the boxes off. So okay.
A little bit of a crime issue.
Okay, so what are we looking at here, Matt?
Oh, sorry. I thought it was – that was just So the question is, Bill was asking, is it really considered a multifamily, and why is it considered that on the BPO?
Well, and I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at the BPO. It could have been one time they may have had two different entrances to the property, and it was considered a multifamily.
Yeah, and it could be, you know, there's a lot of these out there that they could be either legal or illegal multifamilies, just depending on how you would look at them. Okay, so we can see when we go to the if we were to go to the county website, it would certainly show us what that looked like. All right, any questions on that one?
I'm not. Let's see. No, I'm not seeing anything. I did pull up the so we can get a little bit better visual on it. The Google map, so we can kind of see that house a little bit better.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it looks like they rented half of it out at one time is what it looks like it could have been.
Right. Yeah, it could have been. That's a tiny little road there next to it. Well, that's kind of the alleyway. I think if we look over to the left there, you'll see the main street is over to the left there. So
yeah,
definitely, I think we would call that a shotgun house, wouldn't we, Charles?
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of long and narrow, but that's a big garage on the right side there is what that looks like.
Right.
You know, it's funny, you know, you look off into the distance there, you see some really nice houses there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, across the street. Yeah, so.
That front half, they may have rented that front half out, and that back half was separate, and they rented it out as well.
Could be, yep. Yep, so we don't know until we check those out, so. All right. Any questions on any of this so far, guys? Deborah has one. Hi, guys. I have an off-topic question. Do any of you have either of these two documents that we could use as templates? Request offer of borrower to start impounding taxes and insurance. Request letter for updated contract information for the borrower. Charles, do we know?
We don't have any. We wouldn't have those documents. And generally, I don't believe there's anything like that on our member site, Joe. Because generally those are documents or letters that come from the servicer, so we don't typically, I wouldn't have those.
Okay, so what she could do, if she's got a servicer that she's working with, she could possibly request those from her, from them, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Oh, so the servicer is unwilling to share. Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
so Bill is asking, since the Zanesville property is vacant, can Colonial give permission to do a site inspection and go inside?
You could. I mean, we could order a property inspection. We have the right to have it secured, and it may have already been secured. You know, typically, if it's vacant, we'll do a property inspection, order property inspections a lot of times, and get it secured if it's vacant. So you could go in. We could probably get inside the property. This would probably be one of the easier ones to get inside of.
Gotcha. I'm assuming Bill is from that area when he asked that question there. Bill, are you from the Zanesville area? And we have one of our students, Justin Wagner, that has bought a lot of assets in that part of the world, and he lives near there as well. So. Justin's a good guy. All right, Matt, so what kind of announcements do we have to make here today? I know Martha had just sent an email on the Women's Mastermind. So that's coming up April 28th through May 1st in Spanish Fort. So I think there's a link to sign up for that on the website, correct, Matt?
As I understand it, yes. Let me, I'll kind of go to...
And so you don't confuse yourself, change your date on that syllabus from 2-1 to 3-1.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just a month got away from you, huh?
I'm telling you. And Charles, the titanium offering is coming out this coming Thursday, so it's Titanium Thursday, followed by the rollout on Tuesday of next week, so a week from today, to everyone else, correct?
That's correct. And I'll just let everybody know again, it'll come out Thursday, this Thursday, to the Titanium students. And it'll be released, it'll be after 5, sometimes it's going to normally be 5 or after. We'll send out an email blast, but just be patient. We will get it posted on Thursday evening or Thursday afternoon. We just don't blow up our emails asking what time's it coming out, because it will come out.
That'll be Central Time as well, Charles. So whether you're on the East Coast, it's going to be, so that's when it'll be. Also, on Thursday, for those of you that are on the performance call on Thursday afternoon, I won't be doing that this Thursday. I'll be traveling up to Chicago, but Eddie will be doing that. And we've got Tracy Z. Rui, who is going to be on the call on Thursday, and she is going to be, she's been in the note business for many, many years as well, used to be a vice president at Metropolitan Mortgage and Securities, is a master marketer, and she's going to, she also has a company that develops websites for those that are specifically in the note business. So, for those of you that can make it on Thursday and are on the performing side as well, you'll probably want to tune in for that. And I don't know if we'll do that on the Wednesday call anytime soon, Matt. That would be something you would know. I wouldn't know that.
So what we'll end up doing is carving that webinar out and making it available on the member site. So if you wanted to go through and look at it separately, you'll be able to just kind of watch it at your own discretion. So,
very good. Anything else, guys?
Yes. There have been a lot of questions about this spreadsheet that we used a couple of weeks back. It's the financing terms, and it is on the member site now, called Financing Terms from Gross Payment. So I've had
one more time, so they'll know where to go. Is it going to be under training? Where is it going to be on the site, Matt?
I'm glad you asked. So if you actually go to it's like I had it ready for you, Joe. If you go to the training, go to non-performing, click on your materials there, and then underneath the spreadsheets, you've got two new ones: the sales price from NOI and the financing terms from gross payments. So as of right now, they're going to be up there for everybody on both sides.
Very good. So, you know, Matt, I'm like an attorney, man. I don't ask a question unless I know the answer.
Exactly.
All right. So both of those are the calculators that Zarina has been working on. So if you guys want to go in and check those out, you'll find that they're a very good, very valuable tool and something that you can use to figure a lot of this out. All right, Charles, anything else?
I think that's it, everybody. Appreciate everybody's time this afternoon.
Very good. Matt, anything else?
That's all I got for now.
Okay. Excellent. Guys, thanks so much. Kevin will be doing the call tomorrow afternoon and for the non-performing folks, and then on Thursday, Eddie will be doing the performing call for me this week. Have a great rest of the week. Go out and make some money, do some deals, guys. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, everybody.